The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio with husband and wife vintners Roger and Donna Beery. If you've ever been interested in starting your own winery or just learning a little more about wine and what goes on behind the bottle, stay tuned for the next hour. Now, here are Roger and Donna.
Hi, I'm Roger Beery and with my lovely wife Donna, and this is Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. This is the debut show, and I want to be a little indulgent here and tell you a little bit about what we're going to do and what we hope to bring you over the next 13 weeks and what we hope to share with you. So first off, Donna and I write a wine blog, and that's called Bacchus and Beery. Bacchus, as you probably know, is the Roman god of wine, and Beery is our last name. So there is nothing to do with beer on the blog, and in fact, I am allergic to beer, so I can't even drink it. But our son, who is a winemaker here in Sonoma, where we're broadcasting from today, assures me that it does take a lot of good beer to make great wine. So if you would, if you get a chance, check out our blog, bacchusandbeery.com. That's bacchusandbeery.com. And join our mailing list. And there's going to be a lot of great opportunities for you from that mailing list. And so we hope you'll sign up for that. So what I want to start off with is the aha moment. People like us who love wine and love everything about wine, almost everybody has an aha moment where something happens and they get it. Maybe you were having wine with a friend, or maybe you were celebrating something special, or maybe you were all alone and opened a great bottle of wine and took the time to contemplate it and all of a sudden went, aha, I get it. And so I want to talk a little bit about our aha moments. And to do that, I'll introduce Donna. And Donna, go with yours. Tell us about your aha moment with wine.
Well, maybe 1975 when you ordered me that first bottle of Matus Rosé.
Yeah, well, you know, we all have to start somewhere, don't we?
No, honestly, mine was on a wine trip that we took with some older friends of ours in 1983, and they brought us out to Napa and Sonoma, and I loved all the tours, but at that time, I refused to drink red wine. I would politely say no thank you when it came time for them to pour a red wine in the tasting room. We were staying at a lovely bed and breakfast, and it was the tradition that everyone would gather about 4 p.m. in the living room and talk about where they'd visited that day and share some wine that they had purchased. Our traveling companion, John, had taken us to Jordan Winery. While I love the beautiful tour, I would not drink their Cabernet at the chateau. So John had purchased quite a bit of their Cabernet. It was one of his favorite wines, and he comes out with the bottle into the bed and breakfast living room and said, Donna, you will drink this wine. So under duress and with pursed lips, I held the glass to my lips, took a little sip, and went, oh, I love this Jordan Cabernet. So Roger and John hop back into the Lincoln Continental and run back up to the Jordan property. It was many years ago when a little car was coming down, and they stopped and talked to the car, and the car said, I am sorry, we're closed. And John said, you don't understand. His wife just lost her Cabernet virginity, and we need two more cases. And they said, fine, turn around. You can buy some Cabernet. And if you'd like to read more about the experience, I did write a piece for the blog entitled Losing My Cabernet Virginity. And also what makes it even more special to me is that our daughter, as of May 2013, Whitney, was hired by Jordan Winery to be in hospitality. So she worked at the winery that made me learn to love red wine.
And you do love red wine. You know, it's Friday afternoon across America. It's a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. What's in your glass?
I am drinking a Deloche Pinot Noir Rosé in honor of our first guest, John Charles Bossier.
Yeah, we're very excited to have John Charles. If you stay with us, he is a dynamic, very dynamic individual, and will have a lot to say. John Charles is from a winemaking family in Burgundy, and so Burgundy, which is Pinot Noir, is in his blood. And here in America, he owns a number of historic wineries that we're going to talk about. He has Raymond, Buena Vista, which the restoration of that has been amazing. And here also in Sonoma County, Deloche, and the transformation of Deloche under his guidance has been amazing as well. So we're very excited. We'll have him in about 10 minutes or so. And I think you're going to really enjoy meeting Jean-Charles Boissier.
Roger, what was your aha moment with wine?
So my aha moment was on that same trip. And it was in November that year, and it was cold, and it was wet, and it was post-harvest, which means that the leaves are off the vines, and a month from now, when the leaves all turn in the vineyard, a lot of people don't realize that the vineyards turn fall colors just like maple trees in New England, and they're just absolutely beautiful. But like those maple trees, the leaves fall off, and in November it's stark, and you know, it's muddy and it's cold. And so we pulled up to what was a fledgling young winery at the time that was just getting its feet under itself, called Camus, and I'm sure many of you are very familiar with the Camus brand today. And we were greeted in the parking lot. There was no tasting room back then. Back then, you would drive through Napa, sort of, you know, like the movie Bottle Shock. You'd wander up these roads and you'd drive around and then you'd, you know, stumble into a place. There weren't, you know, obviously we didn't have smartphones, we didn't have GPSs, we didn't have maps. So you would stumble into these places, and we stumbled into Camus. And we were greeted there by Charles Wagner, who was the co-founder with his son Chuck Wagner, who runs Camus now. And Charlie, it was kind of obvious he was not interested in doing a tasting that day. And so basically what he told us is that if we were going to understand Camus wines, we would need to go out and do a vineyard tour. And while that may sound great, remember, this is 1983. We dressed a little fancier when we traveled than we do now. And so you know, we're out going in the mud and the muck, and there's no grapes, there's no leaves, it's not pretty. But of course, he didn't think we'd do it, and we did. We jumped out, we all loved it. And so we did this vineyard tour. There was a big old dog that was getting wet and would shake off like a sprinkler. And you know, we'd get wet, and I was just mesmerized by every word Mr. Wagner had to say. And so then we went to the tasting room, which turned out to be his dining room table in the small farmhouse that he lived in on the property. The farmhouse is still there. The dining room is still there, but they use the farmhouse as offices. And we talked wine for the next 4 hours. And I left there with this amazing understanding for the first time of wine as art and passion and science, and how these things all come together to make this unique product. And so that was my aha moment, Donna, and so that has translated along with yours, and to so many things in our lives. Both of our children are involved in the wine industry, and we are in a number of ways as well. And with friends of ours from Colorado, Kathleen and Jeff Thompson, we are starting our own wine label and making our own wine this year. I was in the winery about an hour and a half ago doing punch downs on our Pinot Noir, so I'm fresh from the winery, and we'll be talking about that on this radio show too. You know, I wonder how many people every week in wine country, Napa, Sonoma, Paso Robles, Oregon, Washington, wherever, leave and say, gee, if I had it to do all over again, I'd live and do find a career in wine country. And so that's sort of what we're doing. And shockingly, there are so many people out here that have done just that. And so these people, and on the radio show over the weeks to come, you're going to meet people who had wonderful jobs and gave them up for a $16 an hour harvest intern job. Now, I'm not talking about the person that had the big, you know, tech option, stock option deal and bought their vanity winery. I'm talking about people like you and me that go to work every day, and they wanted to do this so badly that they walked away, just walked away from their jobs, some from their families, and moved out here. Their only promise was a three-month, $16 an hour job. Some of them have small wineries now. Some of them are amazing stories. So Don and I started writing. We get asked a question a lot about the blog and why we write the blog and how we got started writing the blog. So Donna, why don't you jump in here and sort of, you know, give our listeners, you know, a little sense of Bacchus and Beery and, you know, what we try to do and what we're going to try to bring from the blog to the radio show.
Well, first of all, we started writing the blog to help our son, Conk, who was studying viticulture enology at Texas Tech in Lubbock. He was doing a project with the University of Bordeaux where you had to get a man and a woman, and they had to tell their aha moments. And driving from our house in Denver down to our house in Austin, Roger volunteered us. I was actually doing my grocery list and looked over and couldn't believe that he'd given me homework. Anyway, because we wrote for Conk, we decided, why don't we go ahead and start the blog? And we like to focus on small artisan wineries, family-owned wineries, if possible. We like to do wine reviews. We don't review as many wines as we get sent because we like to experience the wine. We don't just open it, taste it, spit it out, and move on. We like to see how it flows over the evening, how it opens up, how it pairs with what we're cooking for dinner. So anyway, you know, we're going to bring you some wine reviews. We love wine travel. We'll tell you about some of our favorite wineries to visit, some of our favorite restaurants to go to in Sonoma and Napa. And, you know, basically just we'd like you to live the experience with us.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Donna. You know, what we hope that you get out of the show is that you'll be able to spend an hour every Friday in wine country, whether you're here or not. And just to give you, you know, a sense of it, so to now in Sonoma and Napa and the rest of wine country, we are in the heat of harvest. And by heat, I mean the amount of grapes that are coming into the wineries are amazing, all different varieties. At the winery today was Chardonnay and Grenache. Grapes that were coming in, and they're, you know, they just look fantastic. This is sort of a compacted harvest this year because of the weather being sort of warm early on, and so the vines got an early start. So we're getting a lot of variety sort of ripening at the same time and coming into wineries at the same time that are normally a little spread out. So that makes the wineries, you know, extremely, extremely busy. But it's very exciting. We are making our wine at in the town of Healdsburg in northern Sonoma, which is just a fantastic town. We'll be talking more and more about Healdsburg and things to do in northern Sonoma as the show goes on. But, you know, it's a fun experience, and, you know, we're sort of now starting to live this part of our lives that many people, you know, want to, and we're doing with the help of our friends, and we're going to share a bit of that with you, and I think you'll find it interesting. And maybe some of you that left wine country at one time and said, you know, gee, if I had it to do all over again, maybe you'll be encouraged to do it all over again and find out that there are plenty of people that have done it and there are some great opportunities out here. So I'm going to we're coming up on break here in about a minute. And so I want to take just a few seconds to again to talk about our friend Jean-Charles Boissier. I met Jean-Charles in 2012 at the Aspen Food and Wine Festival. I interviewed him there, and the quote I remember from the beginning of my article and interview was, to call Jean-Charles Boissier a force of nature is to only underestimate him. He has become a fantastic ambassador for both Napa and Sonoma and the wine industry itself. And I have to say, we are so excited and very lucky to have him. Donna, you have anything to add in the few seconds we have left?
I don't. I just hope that everyone learns to love the wine country as much as we love it. And I look forward to talking with John Charles. Always exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick-and-mortar locations or traditional banker's hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Ooh, China John.
Are you happy with just accepting and passing along what the media, politicians, and government are feeding you? Or are you positively sick of it? It's time to get the real facts. Inform your own decisions. It's time to awaken the sleeper within you. Each week, host Dr. Nick Castellano will uncover various viewpoints and topics designed to inform and present the truth. Today's masses are manipulated by media coverage, and we will not become sheeple. Tune in to Awaken the Sleeper, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Good.
Credit stressed? Need credit repair? The Federal Credit and Business Police, the FTC, state they've never seen a legal credit repair clinic. If those so-called credit repair and debt negotiator illegals are not smart enough to get legal, what makes them smart enough to solve your credit problems?
Hi, I'm Bruce Danielson, founder of First Stone Credit Counseling, the one company that is U.S. Treasury approved and competent to do credit file restoration. We're not collectors in disguise or consumer ripoff artists. In fact, First Stone is a consumer advocate credit file restorer with a U.S. Treasury 501c3 nonprofit certification who has resolved thousands of credit problems over the last 18 plus years. First Stone can put you back on track to financial freedom, and you can start right now by calling
First Stone at 972-235-1188. That's 972-235-1188. Or check the website firststone.com. That's FirstStone.com.
The world we live in has become a crazy place. Poverty is at an all-time high in the wealthiest nation on earth. We keep calling on government to save us with new programs. And now, we have more people using food stamps than any time in our history. This problem continues to get worse. The answer to poverty is in our homes, churches, and communities, and through our children. Get the answers from the Mickey Ellison Show, Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Bacchus and Berry Wine Radio. To reach Donna and Roger Beery or this week's guest, please call into our show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Roger at BacchusandBeery.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us again. And John Charles, are you with us?
Hello.
Okay, well, John Charles will be with us momentarily. As I mentioned before, John Charles is quite the ambassador for both Napa and Sonoma, with a number of wineries being Raymond, Deloach, and Buena Vista of the best known, and of course his JCB sparkling wines, which he is particularly proud of.
As he should be, they're delicious.
As he should be, yes, 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 indeed. While we're waiting for John Charles, I will tell sort of a funny story on myself. So, I grew up thinking I hated champagne and sparkling wine. And
your mother's listening.
Yeah, I know my mother's listening. But in any case, I didn't care for it at all. And I was about 20 years old, and I was with my grandfather. And he was pouring champagne, and he had just come back from France, and he was pouring some Moët White Star. And so he was pouring this, and he called me Tiger, says, "Tiger, do you like champagne?" And I said, "No, sir, I don't. You got to get this sort of South Texas, you know, patriarchal thing going." I said, "No, sir, I don't." And he said, try this. And so I said, it was Moët White Star, and I loved it. And I said, "Well, I've never had anything like that." And he says, "Yeah, son, that's because you're used to," I won't use the expletive he used, "but stuff your mother drinks," which, as it turned out, was André's cold duck and not champagne at all. So Jean Charles just does some absolutely wonderful champagnes. Are you with us, Jean Charles?
Absolutely I am. How are you today?
I am wonderful, and you sound like your always upbeat, tremendous, energetic self.
Absolutely. I'm having a glass of 69 as we speak, so life is great.
Well, I'm having your rosé from Deloach.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. This is a pleasure to share via the air a little bit of liquid.
Yes. Absolutely. So why don't you tell our audience about 69 and what it is exactly? Because it is one of my favorites for sure.
You're the kindest. Thank you so much. So JCB are my initials, by Jean-Charles Boisset. As I come from Burgundy originally, I decided to do two amazing sparkling wine from Burgundy, which has been having a long-lasting tradition to make phenomenal Crémant of Burgundy. And number 69 really represents a certain level of flamboyance with very, very thin, elegant bubbles, a beautiful rosé color with depth and salmon and beautiful pink colors. And it's 100% Pinot Noir from the areas of the Côte de Beaune, which is one of the highest profile Pinot area in the world. So really wanted to create something amazing, small production, around 8,000 cases total. And it's 2 years, you know, fermentation in the bottle, then 6 months of resting, and then released in the market.
I see. And since I'm drinking a Deloche Rosé of Pinot Noir and you are drinking a Rosé sparkling wine, I think we need to make the comment to our audience, for those men in particular that still think all rosés are white Zinfandel, that real men do drink pink.
Exactly. Well, pink is great, and we need to realize that rosé could have a great level of density, richness, beautiful texture as well. It's not just a very light wine to put an ice cube in. It could be, you know, there's a long-lasting tradition as Burgundy as well to do Pinot Noir rosé with or without a Seigneur, and we can get into that, as well as Provence and the south of France. In fact, we're going to send you both a new release we just made literally last week. It's a JCB number 5, which is from Provence, and it's a Côte de Provence. It's a beautiful vineyard we have. We've only made 30,000 bottles for the world, so it's a fully allocated item with magnums and 3 liters, and it's gorgeous, and it really breathes and communicate the south of France and the Provence region. So I agree with you. It's very important that we desacralize a little bit the fact that rosé is just a cheap screw cap white Zinfandel. It could be many other things. And believe it or not, for Thanksgiving, I'm going to be starting our Thanksgiving dinner with the JCB number 5. So rosé, nice, even in the fall or the winter, could be great.
Absolutely. But this time of year, I drink it like it's water, I'll just be honest. It's just on a Friday afternoon, on a beautiful day like this, I mean, what's better than
that? Well, you know how to live. That's the beauty.
Well, why was it 69? You asked me the question.
So 69, by the way, it whichever way you look at it, it gives you pleasure from a number standpoint, of course. Needless to say.
Yes.
And number two, it's my date of birth. So, you know, 69 really represents the celebration of going on the moon and so many of the great things in the late 60s that I thought, besides the beauty of the number, the yin and yang, we got to have to put 69 as a cornerstone historical date for all kinds of things which happen in America and in France.
I want to talk about that for a minute. Obviously, our listeners hear your French accent, and the wines that we've talked about so far are from the French side of the family, except for Deloche. And so, you know, when we first met, I asked you the question, how does a Frenchman fall so in love with California wine country?
Well, that's a lovely question, because we're not many like that. And I had the pleasure to be raised with a very deep American sense, American way of life, American lifestyle. And I've always really got inspired by it back in Burgundy, where I was born in 176 inhabitant village, and always wanted to come. So luckily I could come here when I was 11 and fell in love with the United States, with the country, with its energy, its dynamism, and really lifestyle. So I've always wanted to come, and fortunately I toured a winery which was, you know, a dream for me, named Buena Vista Winery in Sonoma, and realized that there was a deep sense of wine as well in American history. And 150 years ago, many people came, besides the mission, to really build great estates and make great wines. And I fell in love. I mean, it's as easy as that. And I remember saying to my sister, wouldn't it be great one day to come back and make wine in the state of California? And I followed my dream. And this is what America provides to all of us, is an amazing place where if people have a dream, people have aspiration, and they are determined to make it work, you can. And I love the terroir. I think the soil and the climate are fantastic. And I believe we can make stunning wine, as good as France here in California, and we are proving it today.
Oh, I think that's true. You know, you mentioned Buena Vista, and I want to circle back and talk about that and ask you a few questions. You know, the last time I visited Buena Vista, you know, a few months ago, the the guide pointed out a lot of earthquake damage from the 1906 earthquake that had been retrofitted and fixed. And so I have to ask you at Raymond and Buena Vista and, you know, Deloach over here in Santa Rosa probably didn't get hit, but, you know, what kind of damage and, you know, did you have any problems?
Well, we did have some issues because of the earthquake for sure. You know, Jameson Canyon, where we have a warehouse, and Raymond Vineyards is in Santa Lena. Our home is along the way in Yountville, so obviously it hit hard. But we got so lucky altogether that, one, it was at night, as we all know, and number two, nobody lost any life or any significant injury. So the losses we had were materialistic. So, you know, we need to live a much more spiritual life anyhow. So what happens materialistically can be replaced. We lost wine. We lost crystal because we do a lot of things with Baccarat. We lost a lot of glasses and beautiful decanters and some great barrels of wine, but all in all, it wasn't too bad. We got very fortunate, and I think that's how we need to look at life.
Well, what I think a lot of people don't understand is, you know, maybe they saw those pictures of barrel rooms with, you know, where 10-foot tall, 12-foot tall, 20-foot tall barrel racks had fallen down on all those barrels, but you made a good point that if that had happened at 3:20 in the afternoon, instead of 3:20 at night, the casualties would have been unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So when I woke up at 3:30 or 3:20, the immediate thoughts came to my head was Buena Vista Winery, because as you know, Roger, we've totally renovated it. I call the Buena Vista building as the first California gravity flow building, the biggest caves in those days, the White House of Wine. So we bought this winery because it has a great sense of heritage, it makes great wine, but it's very important to American history as the first. So having spent a lot of time with great architects and engineers, we finished the renovation and restoration of it last year. So what came to my head instantaneously after the Big Bang was, God, what's happening with the building? And luckily I had our team right away, and we went there, and we don't even have a significant crack in the structure. So luckily, because of the restoration, the great architects we work with and engineers, and the actual re-engineering of the building without damaging its beauty, because we went through the stone, we strengthened the building, and at 6.1 Richter scale, the building did not have anything whatsoever. So that shows you that modern technology can help history. And what excites me the most after this earthquake, it proves the fact that we need to renovate historical buildings, because American history has to survive through its monuments. It's a great history. We need to show it, even though it's brief. But it's brief. We should be proud of it, because how much has been achieved in the wine world over the last 175 years? It's enormous, because Napa and Sonoma and California is a world standard today. It's a world liquid gold standard. And we should be proud of it, because, you know, it took us thousands of years to do in Europe, and here it was shorter, so it's great.
And not only was it shorter, we had a little break that called Prohibition that caused all sorts of problems. So, Jean-Charles, talk to us a little bit more about the historic renovation. We've got about 2 minutes before we go to break, and we can pick up after that.
Sure.
But, you know, I visited it, you know, before you took it over. And it is the experience, the beauty, everything there. It's just an amazing property today. And if people visited before you took it over, they won't even recognize it.
Well, thank you for saying that, Roger. I'm really, really grateful that you appreciated it. Well, when you take over the first building of fine winemaking in California, you have a huge responsibility vis-a-vis the past and vis-a-vis the future. So why the past? Because you need to respect it, and the future, you need to maintain it for the generations to come. We live today at present, but we cannot stop forecasting ourselves 500 years from now. So as we love to see the White House or Monticello or a lot of historical buildings throughout the U.S., we need to think about the same way as far as Buena Vista and the history of where wine all started. So we felt when we took over Buena Vista, we had to be extremely respectful of that heritage and do things right. So we hired the best team on earth, I think, in Northern California to do it. and they've done a magnificent job. Yes, it's a very costly proposition, but what does it mean to spend money if you spread it over the next 300 years? So we cannot do things halfway, from the History Hills to the Labyrinth to the first press house to the second to the Theater of Nature to all the things we've done there, from caves to bubble lounge to now the museum, which we're opening in 3 or 4 weeks that we cannot wait to show you. We had to do things which becomes the cultural center of wine in Sonoma and in Napa. As you got into the beauty of Carneros and Sonoma, you are at the entries of both valleys. We had to create the place to start, the place to be, the place to be cultured, and the place where you have goosebumps about the wine world. If someone doesn't know it, that's where they should start, and they should be educated from it. So we really spent a lot of time thinking about education, history, where we want to take people, how we want them to vibrate through the wines, and how much we want them to learn from about 1850 to today.
Jean-Charles, let me stop you there. We're about to go to break. When we come back, I'd love to hear about the new Wine Tool Museum, Historic Wine Tool Museum.
Exactly. Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right. I'll be right here.
Great. Thank you.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. If the financial markets interest you, if you want to potentially earn a higher return, if you're not satisfied with your investment returns, or if you're only making 1% on your investments sitting in the bank, do you see the stock market hitting record highs but feel you have no one to trust? Voice America's own Jordan Kimmel, the host of Magnet Investing for over 7 years, is applying his strategies of Magnet Investing and is managing individual accounts. Jordan Kimmel has joined InvestView, the Red Bank, New Jersey investment education and asset management firm, and his team can help you. Contact Jordan and the team at InvestView at 732-380-7271 or by email at jkimmel@investview.com. If you would like a complimentary portfolio review or to speak to a representative, call us. Past performance of investments are not indicative of future results. Investing is inherently risky. All recommendations should be researched by the investor. Call InvestView at 732-380-7271. That's 732-380-7271.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
What if there was a radio show that could demonstrate how we can cut your taxes in half without diminishing needed government services? One that could explain how to create tens of millions of jobs at no cost to taxpayers, as well as fantastic yet easily affordable health care. Side effects include cutting crime rates nationwide, providing better education for our children, international peace and harmony, and protecting your private personal data from government intrusion. Tune in to Libertarians Working for You with Arvind Vora, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. To reach Donna and Roger Beery or this week's guest, please call into our show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Roger at BacchusandBeery.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, I'm Roger Beery with my lovely wife, Donna, and we are very honored today to continue with our guest, John Charles Boissier. And John Charles, at the break, we were talking about Buena Vista and the renovation, and part of that renovation is the soon-to-be-opened Historic Wine Tool Museum. Will you tell us a bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have Donna as well. I'm delighted you both on it, because what we wanted to really do at Buena Vista, besides great cellars, barrel tastings, a bubble lounge, and really engaging our guests on history, we wanted to go beyond on the history of wine and the history of vineyards and winemaking and all that through the tools. Because we created a living museum in a way. See, it's kind of a living show, which is around 17 minutes, which takes you through the history of wine all the way to today and the different arts of wine and how to make wine through great tools. So we brought from Europe an amazing collection we owned, and we decided to install it on the third floor of Buena Vista. So it's very exciting. It's over 5,000 square feet, beautiful top floor. And we want people, basically, thanks to this museum, to really dive into history and wine and know more about the journey of the Count and Buena Vista, as well as how wine was made and what has happened in the 18th, 19th, and 20th century on wine.
Okay. Well, John Charles, I'm very impressed with what you've done at Buena Vista. I just attended your Bastille Day party at Deloche Winery. Why don't you tell me about the transformation of Deloche?
Well, it was lovely to see you, of course, Donna.
Oh,
and next year,
we
need to be even more excited about the 18th century. What we did at Deloche is we built even further the theme of the Fleur de Lys, which is the official emblem of Deloche that the Deloche family started in the late 60s and early 70s. And Deloche obviously is our little Burgundy in Sonoma, you know, the best of what we do in Chardonnay, Pinot, and cool climate Zinfandel. So we've recreated there a theater of nature, similar to the one at Raymond, but very focused on organic and biodynamic farming, so our guests can really dive into what the nature is all about and how we farm organically and biodynamically and learn about it. Then we have a 60-seat grove where we can experiment farm to season to table. We have the incredible guest house where you could do cooking classes and mustard making, which is another great experience we brought from Burgundy, because we have mustard being planted in the Theater of Nature, so people can actually make mustard and taste wine. In the guest house as well, we've created a new Taste of Terroir experience where you can compare and contrast Russian River wines from our portfolio with our French wineries. So you could actually do a Franco-American tasting. From $50 to $75 to $100, you could do from Premier Cru to Grand Cru. Compare and contrast them with Sonoma. So that's a very unique experience. We've as well created a whole area in the open top for manors where we saw each other, actually, Donna, for the estate. So we have three wines from the estate which are fully biodynamically certified. Phenomenal. Phenomenal wines, 1,000 cases of Pinot and Chardonnay and a few hundred cases of a great rosé, which we exclusively serve in that area. Then we have another room where you could do barrel tasting, so our guests can actually really experiment and taste wine in its transformation, in its adolescence. And then we created another room as well, so another multiple room, which is dedicated to single vineyards, because we want really, in the Russian River, to create the map of the future. We know we're specializing more into great vineyards, great sites, what we call a very terroir-oriented approach. And we make over 26 different single vineyards. And in that room, you can actually taste them and understand the difference between Petaluma, Sonoma Mountain, Russian River, Sonoma Coast, Marin County, and really dive into what Sonoma is about. So it's a great educational experience. And finally, we decided to add, if you do recall, we danced there. We decided to add a JCB winery, which is really all about
you know, the wines I have the pleasure to craft and sculpt from not only Burgundy, Russian River, and at the same time Napa Valley. So I've taken the best of where we make wine and created that JCB experience, which is there and very unique and very trendy. So basically, from what we used to be able to do at Deloche, we multiplied the experiences by 9. So now we can really do a lot of great things. So you could take your friends, you know, at multiple occasions and still have a great time. We have as well, finally, a great pizza oven where we pair, you know, wine and pizza in the afternoon on the weekend. So it creates a lot of fun, and people can really do food and wine pairing as well.
So that's Jean-Charles. Yeah. And one of the things, there's a few words that you continue to use that I want to talk about. The first one I want to mention, though, is experience.
And that's right.
So many people have come out to wine country and they think experience is a wine tasting room. And your properties are truly an experience. So tell us a little bit about what you're trying to achieve for visitors at your properties that's different than the normal, we've got 7 wines and it costs $10,
right.
Please taste them.
No, you're the kindest, Roger, to ask that question, because I think as wineries, we need to step up big time to really, one and foremost, all the time educate our guests. And this is, as I describe you, all those experiences, whether it's Raymond, Buena Vista, Deloche, or JCB, we want people to have a great time, because you don't come into a tasting room just to have a spiritual experience which is daunting and where we're here to speak at you. We need to have our guests experiment in their own way and fashion the emotions of wine and learn at the same time, but have a lot of fun. So I realized very early on, thanks to spending a little bit of time here at school, that in America we learn by case studies and we learn by doing, and at the same time as we learn, we have fun. So what we've tried to do in every different rooms, all the way up to being able to make your own wine, because at Deloche as well, we have a winemaker for a day experience, like at Buena Vista and Deloche, you learn and you do things and you have fun. So the experience are all along, from the vineyards to the environment, all the way to winemaking, as well as emotions, passions, and feelings. And it's all about you. So we've put our guests at the center of the experience, and we consider ourselves more than just a winery, kind of a resort, if you wish, where people have a great time. And they learn, they touch, they feel, they experience, they smell, they get to do it, they get to taste, they get to make wine, they get to taste on barrels, and they do exactly what we get to do as winemakers and wine people. So there's no boundaries, there's no intimidation. It's all about bringing them in part of the process, and that's what we have a lot of fun of doing. It's all about them being at the epicenter of the wine culture. And I'd like to add, wine, in the way I was born, was always on the table. Obviously, I was born in a winery, so it's easier, but still, wine is a product of civilization, is all about culture, is all about the art of life, is all about the emotions of who we are as individual and senses and sensory. So this is what we need to make sure we bring to our guests, is they feel this and they learn thanks to that.
Absolutely. And for those of you that are listening, it is, all of his properties are a unique experience. They're very exciting, and you know, plan to spend hours. You know, as we say in the wine business, I'm in no rush, wine kills slowly.
Roger and Donna, that's a key element. I think wineries too often try to say, you know, we want to sell wine and turn people into the wine clubs. All that is great. Of course, it's important to do ultimately, but I don't think we are as focused. Yes, we want to sell wine, naturally. That's why we have tasting salons. But more importantly, we want people to spend time and give the opportunity to time to learn and to reflect. A winery is a place where people, thanks to this glass of wine, thanks to that elixir of God, can reflect on who they are, what they like, what are their tastes, and have fun with friends and family. And And it's not just to have people stay for 30 minutes just on a tour and then they have to leave and they're being put on the parking lot to leave. We want our friends to come back all the time, do one experience to the other, and just have a good time and be able to enjoy a glass of wine, sit in the grove, look at the beautiful landscape, and live. And stop the watch and just be themselves.
So, on that note, you have a new project, Boise A Wine Living at Home.
Yes.
Where you're bringing wine country into people's homes in Connecticut or Kansas or wherever. We just have a few minutes left, so let people know about that and how they might become involved in it.
Absolutely, and they should all. It's called BoiseWineLiving.com or Boise Wine Living. The whole idea of the word wine and living is to bring the living experience of wine to people's home, to bring the tasting salon experience or the winery to people's states. How many people can really visit the wine country? It's only 4 or 5 million a year. We want actually to bring that to people's home, the emotion, the experience, tasting very unique wines. And people become ambassadors, they make money through this, and they can start their own business in the wine world without having to spend millions into the winery or work into any other environment than for themselves. So you sign up, you become an ambassador, you receive 8 to 10 wines, and then you could build 8 to 10 different tasting experiences from $100 to $1,000 a tasting for 8 to 10 people, and you get to be part of the wine dream. Bring the wine dreams to people's home, whether you're in Texas, Connecticut, as you said, Kansas, or what have you, and really be part of the wine dream and sell wine and make money out of it. So this is really what I'm so energized about. I was 2 days in Texas. We had hundreds of people attending our tasting, and it's so exciting to bring the wine culture, the wine country, to people's state, to people's cities, to people's home. People make new friends, share experience and stories, and get to dream. And that's what life is about.
And I'm sorry, Donna.
No, go ahead.
Wine is about dreams. You know, we were talking earlier in the show about our little wine project, which you and I have discussed, and you've given me some guidance on, and that's the name of, it's not going to be our wine label name, but our corporation with our friends is Wine Stained Dreams. It's it's extremely appropriate. I want to jump over here. In your previous conversation or earlier in the conversation, you used two terms.
Yes.
That a lot of wine lovers hear or read on labels, but maybe they're not really clear on what those terms mean. And one is a French term. And speaking of French, I'm as long as we've known each other, my Americanese should not be botching your last name like I do. And so I apologize for that.
No, you don't. You're doing great.
Anyway, those two terms. One is the term toi, and the other is biodynamic farming.
That's right. So terroir is all about earth. Terre in French means earth, as well as in Latin, terra. So it's all about the alchemy between the soil, the plant, the climate, the passion of the people who farm it. So terroir is that unique sense of place where you feel comfortable, where the grape expresses itself well. So we refer to terroir as a sense of place. Now, organic and biodynamic farming is very important to us, and we farm most of our vineyards that way, from sustainable to organic, elimination of pesticides and herbicides, to biodynamic, which is really dynamizing the rhythm of the biorhythm of nature. In other words, as we live on Earth, we utilize the other two most important magnetic elements which influence us, is the moon and the sun. And we use the lunar calendar, which regulates basically the Earth movement as well as the farming rhythm, to our techniques. So it's quite simple. We use basically homeopathy or plants to treat the vineyards or to anticipate and prevent illness in the vineyards, and we farm it according to the lunar calendar. So this is really what biodynamic is we dynamize the biorhythm of nature. So it's really working in synergy, in sync, in absolute correlation with nature, not against nature, not imposing nature our rhythm, but living from, you know, nature's rhythm within us. So it's really vice versa. And that's why we're so excited about it. The result is amazing, makes pure wines, wines which are really magnetic. And that's very important to say, that wine which has that je ne sais quoi added great texture and taste that is very pure and really in full mode with nature.
And I think also, you know, when I visit your properties, one of the things that, you know, that I notice is wildlife. I see hawks, I see birds, I see all these other things in the sort of holistic view that you take of your wineries. And I think for guests, that's something that, you know, maybe they need to look up and pay attention to.
Absolutely. I think people
watching their feet.
Yeah, we publish, you know, the Boisse Almanac, which is something, if you don't have it, we'll send you a copy now, with the history of the Buena Vista book, because we published the Buena Vista History of Sonoma and Buena Vista, which is another very interesting book.
And those Jean-Charles, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to stop you right there. We're just about out of time.
No, we loved it. Well, we'll come back again. And thank you so much for having us on the show. We love it, and we're so proud of what you're doing. Thank you immensely.
Well, thank you, Jean-Charles.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And until our next wine, glass of wine together, we'll say farewell. Our next show is going to be in Napa Valley from Alpha Omega Winery. Some fantastic wines, and we'll have an interview with the winemaker there. So thanks for joining us, and pop a new bottle, and have a great glass of wine. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us this week for Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. Roger and Donna Beery will be back again next Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope your weekend gets started with a beautiful glass of wine.